Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. April the 22nd, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today because we see clearly the fulfillment of all that you have been saying. We're grateful, so grateful, that you have not left us without foreknowledge so that we might see exactly what we need to do to be ready for that which is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to take a look at an article here that was published in the Daily Beast. It was published on August the 21st, 2017. Yes, that's the year, 2017. However, it takes me back to that quote in the Spirit of Prophecy where we are admonished that there will come a time when the Constitution of the United States of America will be repudiated. You remember that word? Okay. And so in the Daily Beast, the writer of that article has chosen a topic that I found compelling. The writer's name is Teresa Tomlinson, T-O-M-L-I-N-S-O-N, and the title of the article is The Conservative Plan to Rewrite the Constitution. And yes, it's a thing. They mean it. Now that's what the subtext says. The Conservative Plan to Rewrite the Constitution. Now notice when it was published. This was published on August the 21st, 2017, the writer of the article is Teresa Tomlinson. And we're going to go through this today because there are many things in here that I think you will find compelling and also informative. Again, the article is found in the Daily Beast, published August the 21st, 2017. Here's the article. As the country reels to understand the Conservative Party's affiliation with the alt-right and white supremacists, it may be worth noting some disturbing mainstream conservative efforts that create fertile ground for these groups to take root. Now remember when this article is being written, 2017. Okay. For example, conservatives have long attempted to convert our form of federal government into a confederation of supreme states. This is how they intend to do it. Now, let me pause here. And there have been those who have been against the concept of a federal government ever since its formation. They prefer to have confederate states that come together, you know, as associated one with the other. But each state would have its own supreme authority. And ever since the Federation came together, they have been in objection to that. And generationally, they have been those who have fought against that all this time. Continuing, this is how they intend to do it. In his new book, Smashing the DC Monopoly, former Republican Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn urges the Republican legislatures across the country to invoke Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution to convene a constitutional convention to bring our founding documents more in line with conservative governing principles. Two-thirds of federal legislators may begin the constitutional amendment process, but that option has evaded Coburn and other conservatives over the years since they don't have the numbers. The other path to constitutional amendment is for two-thirds of the state legislators, that would be 34 states, to call for a constitutional convention where all sorts of amendments might be considered. As Republican majorities have swept state legislatures, this path is now viable. Presently, There are 32 state legislatures controlled by Republicans and 34 Republican governorships. Thanks to the recent Republican conversion of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, Coburn and his cohorts are knocking at the door of a constitutional convention. So notice what they've done. They've gone and taken control of the local state governments, and they've done this because what they want to do is ultimately control the federal decision making. But what they really want to do is to have a constitutional convention in which they can change the Constitution, rewrite certain vital parts of that Constitution. And I want you to know that most of the things that you see happening right now, the anti-vote laws in certain states, all of this is a part of their determination to control the local states. They do not believe that the federal government ought to be able to tell them what to do, where they are. And so all of these things that you see happening, and every now and then it comes up in the news that somebody else has tried to pass some sort of law somewhere. Well, the reason for that is because they want to have a constitutional convention. Continuing. Through the convention process, Coburn seeks to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government in favor of state supremacy. He is particularly put out by some 200,000 armed federal workers in agencies such as the ATF, the FBI, the DEA, and the U.S. Marshals and federal prison system, which he sees as usurping state and local power. Suddenly, the chance to drain the swamp or smash DC take on a disturbing accessionist tone. Now, you know who used to say that a lot, right? Drain the swamp. All right. Continuing. And this is not just some idle pipe dream of a few people with nothing better to do. They're really trying to do it. Coburn works with the Convention of States Project to encourage state legislators to petition for such an amendment convention. Over 40 states either have a request for a constitutional convention or are currently seen as amenable to passing such a request. Some vigilant non-conservative stakeholders begun this spring to try to stop the convention effort by having Democrat-held states' legislatures, such as New Mexico and Maryland, rescind convention petitions passed years ago. So yes, this ill-footed conservative movement is serious, and its genesis dates back hundreds of years, 200 plus years anyway. Since the very beginning of our republic, there have been those who have wanted states' rights supremacy. They have lost out over and over again. The notion that states are supreme and the federal government is nothing more than an impotent, functionless overlay is based on the rejected and repealed Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union of the States. That document set up a confederation government and therein preserved preeminent state independence while providing for a very limited central government. It was a functional disaster that put the sustainability of our fledgling country in peril. Now, of course, you understand that this goes all the way back. And we're going to take a look at that now just so that you get a little feel of the history that was involved here. Continuing. The United States Constitution replaced the failed Articles of Confederation in 1789. The Constitution provided for a federation government with federal exclusive and concurrent powers, making for a stronger central government, which was checked by co-equal federal branches, not the states. The Constitution balanced a division of power between two levels of government, federal and state. Interestingly, the Articles of Confederation failed for the precise reason conservatives oddly continue to tout its relevance, the desire for state supremacy over federal government interference. For instance, the federal Congress could pass laws, but not enforce them. states were allowed to reject any law with which they did not agree. The Congress had no power to levy taxes or to regulate trade. The state had that sole authority. And importantly, the Articles of Confederation did not allow for a federal court system. Confederates of the South refused to accept our constitutional confederation, opting instead for the distinct and defunct concept of the Articles of Confederation that would have allowed nullification of federal laws, federal secession, and continued slavery. They called their proposed form of government the Confederate States of America, a confederation. And of course, that's the reason why you see the Confederate flags all over the place still. They still desire to have state government. They still want the states to be able to make their own decisions and not be liable to the federal government. But of course, we've got federal organizations that they are having a difficult time dealing with. Continuing. We fought a long, bloody war over this, and the Confederates lost, confirming their profound misunderstanding of states' rights. We then ratified the 14th Amendment, lest there be any continuing confusion that no state's interests could thwart protections guaranteed by the federal Constitution. Yet again, during the Civil War era, civic slow learners invoked concepts of the Articles of Confederation and so-called states' rights that would have tolerated state Jim Crow laws regardless of federal constitutional directives. The Supreme Court and U.S. Marshals reminded them otherwise. Desegregation would have been impossible under the Articles of Confederation because of the absence of the federal courts and armed federal employees. Like the U.S. Marshals, with which Tom Coburn takes such exception, to enforce the federal constitutional rights of minorities in the Old South. Certainly, states and states' rights are a centerpiece of our form of government. They are not, however, the predominant force. The misunderstanding of that simple fact is the basis for a great deal of our current political discord and is the motivating force between Coburn's call for a constitution and its convention. The movement for a constitutional convention has been the darling of many Republican governors. Texas Governor Greg Abbott wishes to restore the rule of law foundation on which the country was built. He seeks to amend the Constitution to allow states to override Supreme Court opinions that declare state laws unconstitutional, such as a state's anti-gay marriage law. Other governors, such as Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon and her Republican colleagues at the National Governors Association, think a constitutional convention is a swell idea. Even former Florida Governor Jeb Bush has jumped on the bandwagon with a November 2016 Wall Street Journal op-ed supporting the effort. Bush and others cite the need to amend the Constitution so as to remove the applications to the states of the Federal Commerce Clause, not mentioning that it is the Commerce Clause that allowed federal courts to overrule, on federal constitutional grounds, state laws. So notice the number of people who are a part of this plan. The conservative ideological drive for a confederation, as opposed to a federation, explains so much. From an ideological perspective, conservatives oppose federal domestic policies regardless of the resultant synergies or the protections or shared costs. The conservatives do not want national economic infrastructure, such as Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security, because those policies acknowledge the functional role and broad protection of a centralized federal government in partnership with the states. They also want the opportunity to discriminate against certain citizens in the name of religious freedom. Conservatives simply cannot and will not give up the ghost of the Confederation. It is truly the Freddy Krueger of conservative thought. And of course, you see what is happening here. It's quite clear. They have actually no intention of giving this up whatsoever. Continuing. It is time for a national awakening on a few basic facts. We are not a confederation. Confederations have questionable functionality and result in dangerous rivalry, inequity, and instability. Conservative ideology based on extreme states' rights always lead to problems. We need not waste a day in exposing this effort for what it is, an attempt at unchecked state power and discrimination. This constitutional amendment effort begs for a government structure that has been historically appealing to intolerant extremists. If we are to reach a viable solution to the national challenges we face, we must first acknowledge the type of government we actually have, a federation, and how we might use it as a tool for policy that positively affects the lives of our citizens. And that's where we are. Now, that I hope that explains just a little bit about what you see happening with so many people who still embrace the Confederation. And they are embracing the Confederation because there are certain laws passed on the federal government that they hate. They want to be able to stipulate certain laws in their private states, like segregation, etc. They don't want to be able to have all kinds of people voting. They want to be able to determine who votes, etc., etc. Most of what you're seeing now is flowing from that conservative, Confederate ideological approach. And let me say it again. They do not want to have a federal government. They want to be able to determine who votes in their states. And they also want to make sure that people are not dependent on Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security, etc., etc. That is the explanation of most of what we're seeing around us today. And of course, I'm sure you remember seeing some of the pictures of those people in the Capitol with the Confederate flag. Even though the Confederate position has always included the constitutional embracing of slavery, it is not just about slavery. There are certain isolationist attitudes that are expressed in just such a manifestation. Where things will end, we've been told there will be serious conflicts in this country. And ultimately, once all of this begins to be displayed at large, many of those who right now are not united in their thinking will slowly be brought together. And ultimately, they will come against those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. These are important issues, and you and I must be ready for them. The explanation of what you're seeing is clear. And the source of all that you're seeing is also clear. When you look at the desire to repudiate the Constitution, we have been warned concerning this. It is the result of the joining hands of Protestantism and Catholicism and spiritualism. And ultimately, we are going to see the changes that God has warned us concerning taking place around us. You and I today need to stand by our Lord and Savior, to allow Him to be the guide in our lives, to have him help us in our decision making and the choices that we make, so that we might indeed reflect him in every aspect of our character. It is not that easy to fight against the devil. The only winner in that fight will be the Holy Spirit working with the children of God. And today God is calling you to be with him, so that you might walk according to his will and be governed by his plan. Why don't you give yourself to the Lord again today, asking him to give you the strength that is needed, asking him to guide you in the path of decision making, so that you might indeed reflect in all that you choose that you are indeed his child. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give. We thank you for the warnings that you provide. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to stand with you and for you, and that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, April the 22nd, 2021.